We are turning our attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 41, and verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. It was not my intention to be going through systematically these books of Genesis. I just wanted to highlight, but I have found myself going through all of the accounts with Joseph, and I would continue to do just that. How do you read the Bible? Well, you can read the Bible for historical information, and that is good. But when you read the Bible, you should always read the Bible by asking, what does the Bible has to say to me? And this is when the Bible will be most profitable to you. When you look at the Bible and ask, what is this saying to me? That is why the Bible is called the living word, because it has something to say to us, the reader, the listener, the preacher of the Bible. A lot of times we read the Bible with the wrong attitude. And when you read the Bible by asking that question, you will see that the Bible has much to say to me and to you. And tonight, the Bible has much to say to me and to you with this account of the butler. And therefore, this is what I intend to show you, what the Bible is saying to me. And I don't know if it is saying the same thing to you, but I suspect it is saying the same thing to you. Now, 2 full years had passed, and the butler had forgotten Joseph. But God did not forget Joseph. We sing a hymn from our Trinity hymnal. How long will thou forget me, O Lord, thou God of grace? How long shall fears beset me, while darkness hides thy face? How long shall griefs distress me, and turn my day to night? How long shall foes oppress me, and triumph in their might? This song like what Joseph was going through, and this song like what some of us might be going through. This is the song of the one who is destined for salvation, who is beseeching God for salvation. And sometimes it takes a long time before God sets us free by showing us that we have become his child. It's not as what some people say, I did this, and at times you must labor for yourself for a long time before you sense that God has forgiven you. The butler, after he was restored, forgot Joseph and the revelation Joseph brought to him, because it was revelation. But again, we see the God of providence at work in the life of Joseph. Joseph was not forgotten by God. We're told at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamt, and behold, he stood by the river. Why is Pharaoh standing by the river? Well, he's having his ceremonial ritual, which was the custom of Egyptians who worship the Nile. He was a worshiper of the Nile River. He went there for his devotions. You know this. He's trusting the river to reveal to him the dreams that he had. You may remember that Moses regularly found Pharaoh at the river. God says, go and speak to Pharaoh, for he is by the river. He is doing his devotions. And guess what? Guess which God addressed first in the plagues? The river. If you read the plagues, you'll see Exodus 7:15, get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shall thou take in thine hand. Now, Egyptians worship the Nile. They look for revelation from the river. But the Lord's people get their revelation from the word, especially from the mouth of a man bringing the word. And thus, Joseph will come and reveal Pharaoh's secret. Pharaoh received a dream that only Joseph could unravel. And the dream interpreted was 7 years of plenty. And notice how seven is mentioned all the time. It was the will of God. It was the perfect will of God that what Joseph said would come to pass. And you know the history very well. And it did come to pass. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, which came upon the known world, who came to Joseph for food. And by the way, this is a powerful gospel message. And if there was ever a time of famine in our day, not of bread, not of water, but of hearing the word of God. In this message this evening, we will take our main message by considering the butler who was restored, because he bears many resemblances of us who say we are Christians. And that's why we single out this butler. And that's why I said that the Bible has something to say to me and to you. We can ask some questions, at least three questions, when we read in this account with the butler. And I begin with the first. Are you a forgetful Christian? If you back up to Genesis 40, verses 21 through 23, you will get the context of what I am saying about the butler and his forgetfulness. Just a page to the back. After the butler was restored to his office, we read here, and he, Pharaoh, restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. The word is forgot, but it is really forget him. You forget Joseph. Now this event took place, and this is very interesting. This event back then took place on Pharaoh's birthday. In the heat of this celebration, one man lost his head and the other man was restored. And you and I may remember in the New Testament, a similar thing happened on Herod's birthday. I don't know if you remember, Louise, who lost their head. John the Baptist lost his head on Pharaoh's birthday, and he lost his head for doing something good. I ponder this. Why would God tell us that it was Pharaoh's birthday? But very significantly in the Bible, there was another birthday that the Jews celebrated annually. Anybody tell me? Quickly. Bible students, it was the Passover, Israel's birthday, when they were liberated, when they were set free, when they were delivered from Egyptian bondage. This pointed to the cross. It is the cross where we reference as the place of our deliverance. We don't forget the cross. We don't forget what happened at the cross if we are believers. Well, this is a very significant lesson. That's why I come to it. The book of Colossians tells us that, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. We do not know the time lapse between Genesis 40 and Genesis 41. But we know in Genesis 41 and in verse 6 that Joseph was a full 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. So some time lapsed. Later, Joseph, you recall, was married and had two sons. But the butler was forgetful of Joseph. Verse 9 of Genesis 41 says, "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day." 2 full years. And the butler said nothing to his master about this great deliverance that was predicted to him. You and I can ponder this very carefully. How many opportunities you and I have allowed to slip by. How many messages you and I have heard and have forgotten. How many times you and I had opportunities and never once speak about Christ. How many times, brethren, we are like the butler in this context. You also must ask, also, what are your conversations like in the dining room on Sunday? Do not be a forgetful Christian, brethren. Hear the words of the psalmist as I read. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. Notice this text here in Psalm 105, where the redeemed is taken from the four corners of the earth. And the psalmist is saying, let the redeemed at the four corners of the earth say so. Wherever they're found, they're called not to be forgetful. Now, there are some Christians who never want to speak about the Lord Jesus. Never want to speak about him. You know how many children and grandchildren they have, but you never ever hear how many graces they enjoy because of the cross. We should not be a forgetful people, brethren. Twice in Hebrews, I think it is chapter 13, the writer uses the word remember. Twice in Hebrews chapter 13, he uses the phrase do not forget. Hebrews chapter 13. One of those places is verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So the butler typifies the forgetful Christian. If there is such a person, I don't know. But this is the lesson that is before me. This is the first lesson that you and I can observe from the context by asking ourselves, when we read this historical account, am I a forgetful Christian? Not a forgetful butler, but a forgetful Christian. Another question you and I can ask from the context is, am I a silent Christian? Obviously, if one is forgetful, the goodness of God, they will not speak of his goodness. And maybe people, some people have nothing to say because maybe God did not do anything for them. The butler was in silence, as far as I read in the narrative, for 2 long years. Things were going well with him. Got his job back. But according to verse 9, the butler said, I do remember my faults this day. Now, this is the first time in the narrative that it says the butler spoke after he was restored. I haven't read any place else when the butler spoke to Pharaoh. His first words were an admission of guilt. I do remember my faults this day. And by the way, when you and I remember our faults, it's something that we should do. And I hope you see it in the text. There's a place we can go when we remember our faults. You don't keep them. But another lesson is Christians really confess their faults when they hurt another Christian. I'm sure the butler spoke to Pharaoh before, but this is the first time we read of him speaking to Pharaoh. Maybe he spoke before. What he spoke before wasn't anything worthwhile recording. But a lesson that you and I can learn is that you and I can confess our faults to one another. And we don't do this, especially when we hurt one another. The book of James tells us, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sometimes we offend people in the church and we don't say anything. We don't confess. We don't say the same thing that God say about sin. But James tells us to do it. But as we consider this butler, let us take note at what the butler spoke about in verses 10 through 12. He began to speak for the first time. And we want to look carefully at some of the things this butler spoke about. Verse 10, Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. The first thing we see is that the butler spoke of the king's wrath. Poor Corey. The butler spoke of the king's wrath. I hope you see this. Pharaoh was angry with the king's servants, and he put me in prison, both me and the chief baker. He remembered from whence he came. He remembered his past. The Bible says, the mouth of the righteous speak of wisdom, and his tongue talk of judgment. The law of his God is on his lips or in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Psalm 37, 30, and 31. You and I should never forget to speak about what we deserve. We should never forget that. We deserve judgment, banishment from the Lord's blessing. And one of the first things he spoke about is Pharaoh's judgment, the king's wrath. And this is a good lesson, brethren. When you and I speak from the word of God, you and I must speak of the judgment of God. There's two sides to the gospel. We must not teach and preach on one side. We must not sidestep this important element of the gospel. And that's why we can say that the butler is a picture of the restored Christian. We speak of his wrath.
what we deserve.
Don't be ashamed. Believe in a gospel of grace. Are you afraid to speak of God's wrath? Do we warn our children about the wrath of God and his anger? The Bible says that God is angry with the sinner every day. We speak about these things. Verse 11 and 12. And we dream a dream in one night. I and he. We dream each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew servant, to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man, according to his dream, he did interpret. The butler also spoke of Joseph's word, the exposition of his dream. That's what Joseph did. He exegeted the dream. We explained that last time. He is speaking of what Joseph said to him and the baker. What do we talk about when we begin to speak? Do we talk? I'm not talking about dreams now. Do we speak about God's word? How he revealed himself to us, as I was saying this morning. Our tongues can speak about God's word. He spoke to Pharaoh of the revelation he received from the mouth of Joseph. Joseph could have been in his 20s because he called him a young man. You're not too young to be a mouthpiece for God. But we see these things dripping from the lesson that are relative to the Christian, the one who has been restored. Don't be a forgetful Christian. Don't be a silent Christian. In school, wherever you are, at work, you have opportunities. But see, part number C, the butler also spoke of the reliability of Joseph's words. He says, and it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. The butler, in the context and according to other people, scholars who do a study on this, Genesis 41, agreed that this butler was a trusted man, that Pharaoh would listen to him. Not only that, this butler's job was on the line. Pharaoh's angry. And sometimes God has to bring us to this place where we would speak about him. His job was on the line. His life was at stake because Pharaoh is bewildered. Joseph would have to be reliable that this butler would recommend him. And Pharaoh must have some confidence in Joseph to call him from the dungeon to the palace. Think about that. It's more than just a dream. And today many people feel that it doesn't matter if they are credible or not, so long as we speak for Christ. That's not true. If we do not prove ourselves credible, no one will listen to us. At least not me. If you are not credible with certain things, you make it harder for me to listen to you. Credible with time. Credible with practical things. Credible with how you treat your spouse. I wouldn't listen. Could you, can you imagine I recommending somebody to the King of Kings that is not credible? I said last week, and I wouldn't pull my words back, there's some people that I just cannot write a recommendation for. I would tell them, I don't know what to say because they're not credible in their church attendance and their church membership. Be credible. No one will listen to somebody who is sloppy. And there had to be some semblance of truth in Joseph's words that this butler would recommend him to Pharaoh. And by the way, Joseph's failure to deliver on his credibility would have further exasperated Pharaoh, and the butler would have been executed. If the testimony of the butler wasn't accurate, the butler would have been executed. And so you see what is at stake for being faithful, brethren. Historically, as Christians, you and I should be exemplary in our conduct before the lost world. We should be credible. It is hard, as I said, to recommend some people because of their lack of credibility. And this is a moral lesson. But the questions are still valid. Am I a forgetful Christian? Are you forgetful of where you came from as a Christian? What you once used to be? Are you a silent Christian? Dumb. When it comes to witnessing Christ. Dumb. Hypothetically, had not the butler spoke of Joseph, he would have been left in the dungeon. You ever thought of that? Had not the butler spoke of Joseph, hypothetically, he would have been left in the dungeon. And Jesus said, I know this refers to the cross, but it also has a moral and a gospel application. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Christ was lifted up at the cross, but Christ must be lifted up by us. In our worship, in our preaching, Christ must be exalted. In our lives, Christ must be lifted up, lest we are leaving him in the grave. How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? Long before the church sent missionaries out, God sent Joseph to Egypt. You think that missions is a New Testament thing, Colin? God had ever missions and the world on his mind. Egypt. Joseph went to Egypt. And the next thing you know, the world was coming to Joseph. A picture of the world coming to Christ. What a beautiful, beautiful lesson. But he used the butler to proclaim Joseph. And he uses those of us who are restored to proclaim Christ. And that's why I say, don't be a forgetful Christian. Don't be a silent Christian. And these are some practical lessons and applications that not many would bring out of this passage, but we have chosen to bring these out this evening. And God did not put the butler in the context here by accident, because he typifies the believer. He began under the wrath, or we began under the wrath of God. We were restored to fellowship with God. The butler heard the message from one who identified with him in prison, and we explained that. We heard the gospel from one who was identified in hell with us, the Lord Jesus. Picture we see here. He was restored to full fellowship and to full service, but he forgot God's goodness. So if you go away tonight, please ponder these things. And we should not be a forgetful people. We should be ever mindful of where the Lord brought us from. And we should give glory to his name. And neither should we be silent either. You know, people say, I'm a shy person. That's not true. Because we talk about things, other things. We should talk about the gospel. It's not that people don't speak. It is what they speak about most of the time. We speak about things that matter. So, brethren, tonight, this is as far as I go with the butler. With those 3 points that you and I should consider carefully if we are people that have been restored to fellowship. And may God help us to see more as I continue in this chapter, in Genesis chapter 41 and into chapter 42, which we would get into more. By the way, when you consider the 7 years of famine, the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, is really a picture of the gospel going out. And not only is a picture of the gospel going out, but it's a picture of the time when the gospel now becomes very scarce. And we believe we are in that period now. But the one thing that we ought to do in a period like this, in a period of famine, is just as everybody came to Joseph, we ought to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to get even closer to him in these trying times that we live in. We ought to be at a place where we can hear the gospel in this 7 year of famine time. We ought to be submissive to the gospel in these latter days. So the picture is very broad when you come to understand the gospel meaning. Well, let us pray this evening. Our Father, we marvel at how you have crafted the Word of God and how you can speak to us from the Word of God. And many times we must admit that we are walking in the shoes of this butler. Our forgetfulness, Lord, forgetting where we came from, we pray that you will help us to treat people with dignity, not only forgetful, we can be silent when it is time to speak for you. We are quiet. And Lord, the next thing about the butler that we see is that he did not promote himself, but he promoted Joseph. We didn't get to this point, but he was not self-promoting. He promoted Joseph. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have heard say of you that you can understand dreams to interpret it. And how can they hear without a preacher? Help us this week, O Lord, to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.